Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way to watch the podcast. Simply enter Warman Kickfighting Show in the iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. So, I'll jump right into it. First, the only reason why you guys didn't get an episode last week is because I kept getting messages from people that said that there was so much kickboxing content, they weren't able to keep up with it all. So they asked me to give them a couple days. At first, I saw someone post it just on my Facebook wall or on my Twitter just as a joke. And then I heard someone else say, hey, at another private message, just, is there any way you could give us a little bit more time? We want to see all the footage before you break it all down. And I truly understand that. I want to be there for the fan base. So I decided to wait just a little bit longer, which means the show will probably be a little bit long. But, hey, we love the sport. So I will do my best to jump in and talk about all the kickboxing knowledge with the as much fluidity as I can. But I'll go ahead and get started. First of all, the year end, there's just two big things to talk about with this card. First of all, we're going to talk about Infusion that went down in Abu Dhabi. They did a show there, and of course, we cracked jokes on Twitter about how Infusion is really, really tough to get a hold of their fight cards, get a hold of their streams. And once upon a time, they used to have a free stream right at their website. Then they decided to go with a service, and now, like, very few people see it. So they really have to make their money off their live shows and off of their VIP tables, which they're a company that's been around and they've been active, and I'm always excited to break down their fights. But man, I cannot stress to you enough, I really, really would prefer they be in a media outlet that I can get a hold of. So I know sometimes Fight TV, I believe it's Fight TV or Fight Talk or whatever the channel is in Canada, they get Fight Network. They have it. But even they haven't been showing all of the Infusion cards. And that's definitely been heartbreaking for me because I love kickboxing and I'll do everything in my power to get a hold of it and watch it and bring it to you guys. Anyways, let's get right back into the tournament action or get right into the tournament action. The reserve was Mohamed Gadebergda. Excuse me, I messed his name up. And Janine Besigior, knockout in the third round. Muhammad's an all right fighter. I need to see more content on him before I can move forward. We break into the tournament. Andy Semelier gets a victory over Moran to 2 as script. And for the whole quarterfinals, it went as scripted. Andy Semelier is just a talent, one of the best natural talents out there in the kickboxing world in terms of athletic ability, his ability to get his boxing and get into his low kick game. He can play just strong boxing. He can play kick counter. He's got so many tools, and we're talking about a person who's, 21, 22, 23 years old. Everybody wants their stars to be that age, or the fighters for the future to be that age, and Endy is one of those guys. He gets a victory over Maranta too. Nordine Evan Rusmalin gets a victory over Cedric Du, again, as scripted. Nordine's talented. He doesn't have you hear that last name, Van Roosmalen, of course, everybody immediately thinks about, Robin Van Roosmalen. He's got similarities, but style is pretty much all his own. Definitely good in the kickboxing. He gets a solid victory here. Thiago Collado, he's doing more to win me over. I liked him over Zhu Boitong, if I remember correctly. I saw him on a Heroes of Champions card or something like that over in China the first time I saw him. Not wowed by his skill, just thought he was okay. Diago is a talented guy. Want to see more from him. This tournament was a good time to, showcase his ability, but just the tournament format didn't work out in his favor to move forward. Superbond gets a victory over Aziz Kala, and it is as scripted. Aziz, he's got the skill to fight in space. But for whatever reason, his aggression and his, always wanting to move forward, he gets into a lot of holds, and he smothers his offense sometimes. And by sometimes, I mean several times during the round. Superbond, of course, just too savvy, too skilled, good with the boxing, good with the kicks, but then it's just the subtle movements. Whenever you can fight in explosions like that, you can really find your moment to land good, clean kickboxing offense. It doesn't necessarily have to come from a kill shot. You can just find it in the flow of patience, patience, patience moment. patience, patience, patience moment. And something that Superbond's really good at is he throws enough offense for you not to be bored by his style, but it's just he's just subtle enough to keep you from hitting him. And the next thing you realize, you're already down halfway through the round and you've got to fight your way back. So Superbond gets a victory and moves forward in the tournament. Sorelle DeJong gets a victory over Victoria Lomax, stopped her in the third round. Sorelle DeJong, pay attention to this name, or Jong, the Dutch fighter. Pay attention to this name. I do believe she's got the talent to be one of the better kickboxers on the planet, and it's important that you win by stoppage. In particular, if you are a female fighter, the reason why it's important, it's because you bring an aspect to the fight sports that a lot of people aren't used to. Of course, a lot of you guys know I work for Glory Kickboxing, and Anissa Mexen had a big-time, you know, stoppage victory in the second round after, you know, losing her title in a decision that she felt didn't go her way. The thing that made it stand out was she brought that heat. Like, she came out, she was angry, she was aggressive, she hated that she lost the decision. She went out there and she performed in a way where she brought the violence. And I think that when I look at that performance and I look at what Sorelle DeJong did here, the mentality is the same. It's got to be more than I'm attracted to you physically. It's got to be more than you get your hand raised. You've got to bring something in your kickboxing violence that makes people want to see you more. And Sorelle DeJong getting the stoppage in the third round is what we want to see. Robin Sirk gets a victory over Taha Alami, Moroni. I believe it's Chops Moroni. I need to see more from Sirk. Just a solid victory, but nothing to jump out of gym yet. Hopefully more performances will sell me on him more. Then we go back into the tournament field where my heart was broken because, of course, a lot of you know I'm real high on Andy Semelier. I had him going to the tournament final and beating Superbond, and he gets injured. I can't remember what the injury was. He's not able to continue. So then we get Moron to two. He gets to go against Cedric Doe, who, surprisingly enough, he gets to move on because Norden van Roosmalen couldn't continue. So just a weird thing that worked out where you just didn't have, and I've seen that happen in tournaments before, where injuries keep the guy you thought was going to move forward from moving forward. The winner keeps the winner from moving forward, and they create a whole new fight. Murat Tito has really had a good year. You know, he had a good year. He just ran into Andy Semelier, who's a better fighter. But if you look back on this year, I always think about Murat Tito because he's got that loss to Bukau, and I go, man, he just looked so bad in the fight, you forget that he's a skilled fighter. He showed up here, gets KO in the third round over Cedric Doe, and moves on to the final. Superbond gets a victory decision over Diogo Collado. It's as scripted. Just he's got more talent, more tools, more skill. Superbond is a guy who, despite the fact that he wins a lot, I don't think a lot of people are drawn to him. Style-wise. He just does just enough for you not to be bored of his performance. But I thought here he showed me some good skill, and I was happy that he moved on to the tournament. But then, of course, at this point, I'm already disappointed that he's not going against Andy. That's kind of where I was. But Superbond then moves forward. Anis Bozid gets a victory over Salahadi Sahin. Knockout in the first round. Good stuff by Anis. Lauren Javier Jorge, the old-school cat, holding on as he gets a victory over Khalid El Bakore. Lauren Javier Jorge is a guy who, once upon a time, I was at an Infusion event where he went against Tyrone Spong. And I just remember that. I just remember thinking, you know, this guy, it wasn't Infusion. It's Showtime. And it's Showtime event where he went against Lauren Javier Jorge went against Tyrone Spong. And I just remember thinking, man, shout out to this cat. He always fights. Always goes against. When he looks back on his career, he will know where he stood because he really did fight all the best guys. He fought, Daniel Youngas and Tyrone Spongs and the better guys in that weight division. He got in there with them, win, lose, or draw. So, shout out to Loren. He gets a victory here, and he's still doing it. Still doing it into his 30s. Ulrik Bokaim gets a victory over Philip Verlinden. This is just a story of two guys going in two different directions. Philip Verlinden is going to be a solid coach when he goes into this. He's already starts. He's really, really focused on his coaching career. You see him on his social media posts, really focused on his coaching. Ulrich Bochim is a guy who, or Bochimi, is a guy who's already got some high-level victories, one of the better fighters on the Infusion roster, very, very talented guy, very strong, good with his boxing. He gets a victory here, but in the end, he's a guy who you're going to hear about for some time to come. You'll hear about him 2, 3, 4 years down the road, whereas Phil Verlinden, he's a guy who you did know who he was back in the past, and he did do some good stuff. It just wasn't meant to be, you know, or it wasn't meant to be in this particular night, but he had a great run, fought at heavyweight, fought at, you know, light heavyweight, fought at, you know, middleweight now. He's just a guy who did it all. Phil Verlinden will look back on his career and say, man, I had fun with it. I fought all over the world. He had a great run. At this period of time, he's a guy who still fights, good, serviceable, hard-nosed, tough fighter. He just lost to a better guy. Mohamed Bokhari gets a victory over Fatih Alusoy. The thing that I like about Mohamed Bokhari is he's a talented guy, of course. No question there. And he gets the knockout victory over Fatih. But he's the kind of guy where I still feel like I haven't seen his ceiling yet. And I'm curious just where it's going to go. Like, where is he? Who's he going to be, and what his career, does he have the potential to be one period of time a top 10, top 15 fighter in the world? We'll see. But he showed good skill here, gets a good stoppage, moves forward. I want to see more from Mohamed Bokhari down the road. Superbon then wins the tournament over Marat 2 by decision. That's the thing I was saying before. Once Similier was out of it, we all knew it was going to be chalk that Superbon was the best fighter left in the tournament. But 3 decision victories, please forgive me. Forgive me for the coffee, guys. 3 decision victories does not make people really want to go see you fight. And, of course, there is a contingent of people who, I didn't even realize it, there's some people that hate me out there because my podcast leans towards kickboxing more than Muay Thai. And even in style. So I've heard people say, hey, I've gotten on Steven before in the past about not being Muay Thai heavy enough. But he really does put a lot of effort into his highlights, or he does so-and-so. When he does his breakdowns, it usually leans towards a more kickboxing style than it does towards a Thai style. I think the person that said it best is Vinny Shorman. If you're that much better than the guy, get him out of there. And I think that we just need a little bit more kill when you have this appear. Because if it were the opposite, whenever you see, just throughout the history, we don't even have to use guys in the last 5 years. I can go back to the early 2000s and, you know, you look at, Masato, you know, I mean, I won't just go heavyweight because it's easy to go heavyweight. You know, I can go Mike Bernardo or whatever. If they felt like there was a better advantage over the other fighter, and they felt like they could get the fighter out of there, you saw effort to get the fighter out of there. Like, it was important for them to put the foot on the gas, try to go for a stoppage. We need more of that in combat sports. We really do. Like, that's just my personal opinion. We need more of that. And sometimes the flow of the Thai style, unless you're a hardcore like me that's also a coach and I appreciate technique and the subtle things like where you stepped to keep someone from a returning offense, when that happens, if you get that victory, but there's not enough exchanges, there's not enough things that gets people into combat sports, then they will only appreciate you in victory, but they're not paying to see you, you know, and it's very important that you do a little bit of everything. You know, the glory champion, Sitichai, when he fought Jonsi, if there's one thing I think he did a good job of in that fight, was that certain period of time, just because of how, you know, how hard he kicks and the body kicks and stuff like that, the crowd felt into it. You know, they felt into the action. You know, they felt like, okay, this guy's bringing it. Or if you look at a guy like Soyak over the years, he fought in a way where he was like, score, don't really get into a lot of exchanges, but he had a manager that got him those international opportunities. If you're better, you got to be Thai fighting guys. You know what I'm saying? You got to be trying to kill him. And Thai fights is the perfect example of they try to kill him when they're better. On the international stage, that's what people want to see more of. So Superbon is a talent. No question about it. Superbon is a very, very talented fighter. No one's ever going to doubt that. But the thing that we do doubt is, do we want to see this guy again? And that's always a question that you ask. Do we care that he's not the champion? Do we care that things didn't, you know, go as we had hoped? You got it. You should care. If you don't care, that's when you sit back and you look at your champion and you go, man, it just didn't go our way. We didn't get lucky with our opposition. People want to see the elite get people out of there. We're going to go to Japan. There's actually a couple cards in Japan. I'm going to start off with King of Knockout. So, King of Knockout stream, and shout out to King of Knockout. They put this whole video up. Like, I got this link right from off their Twitter, but it had the whole card on it. I won't go through all the fights, but I'll talk about most of them. Yusuke More gets a victory over Masa Sato. Leg kick. Everybody loves the low kick stoppages. He started on it early. You could see at a period of time that Masa Sato was in trouble and that he wasn't going to go the distance. But he did his best to battle, stay on his feet. It just didn't go his way down the stretch. And he got it. You know, More had him hurt. Most importantly, More finished the job. Got the low kick stoppage in the fourth round. Got the night started off right. Then we go to Manazu Kobayashi as she gets victory over Seiyo Ito by majority decision. This fight comes down to round number five. First of all, Seiyo Ito, there's a lot to like there. Seiyo Ito is an attractive girl. She's got an appealing look to her, and she was doing a great job of scoring her offense in space with her kickboxing. She really did do a good job. But in round five, Kobayashi, something about, you know, Manazu just like a switch went off, and she felt everything that she threw had to be an elbow. And she literally, I got to imagine she threw close to 40 elbows in round five and just hacking away like a person with an axe taking down a tree. She was just hacking away. And I can't even remember if she scored an elbow or if she scored a cut with it. All I know is Seiya Ito's whole offensive, you know, game plan seemed like it was out the window the moment all those, you know, elbows started coming her way. She was no longer in it. She was just trying to make it. And she got out of that flurry, got through round five. I actually preferred Ito's work. For four rounds, I preferred her work. But the rounds were close. And the judges, it seemed like they scored a lot of those rounds, 10-10, 1, 2, 3, a lot of those were 10-10. But in the end, the difference in the scorecard was 49-48, 2, and 49-49 on the other. That just shows you how many 10-10s we had in there. So Manazu gets a victory, moves forward. Definitely want to see those elbows in action again. Altan Dugun, I believe I'm for that. That's a really difficult name. Altan Duglund. The last name is actually easier. Bold Batar gets a victory over Yoto Shigemori. Knockout in the second round. I can't remember that one. I get confused between that and another stoppage, so please forgive me on that one. But Bold Batar is a guy who I want to see more. Solid, not great. But I thought that that was good skill and that was a good stoppage. Korean Sean Kyun Lee gets a victory by cut over Hikari Machida. It was a good fight throughout before the cut stopped it, so I want to see more of him, Lee. That was good stuff. Shunto Ito gets a victory over Hirotashi Murata. TKO stoppage in round five. Good action in this one before the stoppage ended it. I did think that Ito was probably up on the cards, if I remember that fight correctly. Good stuff by Ito. Murata, good fighter. Funk K1's had a lot of experience in Japan. Just, you know, five-round fight, you never know. And just didn't go his way that night. Yes, Yasuku Agasawa. I am butchering names today. Agasawa-ra gets a victory over Ryo Takahashi. Yasuku, talent, very skilled, showed good offense. There was a knockdown. I can't remember the round. But one judge had it a little bit closer than how I had it. They had a 48-47. 48-46 is fine with me. There was also a judge that had it wide, 48-45. But Iosuka Agasawara gets the victory there. I got it right there. Agasawara. Got it. So we move on to Kaito Uno as it gets victory over Yusuke Mizuchi. Knockout, but that knee was a brutal knee. Good stuff by Uno. I want to see more. Again, I'm not seeing these athletes on enough of a regular basis for me to, you know, really say this is the person to watch for most of this card. But Ono did some good stuff here. Fukushi Mitsutani gets a victory over Yumaguchi. I thought it was a clean, close fight. I thought the victory to Mizutani was good, not great. But I thought there was enough separation to make an argument for the victory in the fight. And then I'll go to the last fight, which actually was good stuff. Issei Ishii gets a victory over Kazuki Asuka, Asaki. 49-48. One thing that I do like about this promotion is you saw the shootboxing well represented. Had some wins from some of the shootboxing fighters. So you saw the pants go along with the Muay Thai shorts. It was just a fun night. Fun night. Good kickboxing. Good full rules Muay Thai. It's the kind of a promotion that you want to build on. So this is, you know, I talked about the promotion. I gave it its love. But, man, I think that people want to see more of high-level action on a more consistent basis. So shout out to the athletes that performed and did their thing. Going to go ahead and keep going. We are going to go to, let's go to the big K1 card. I'll keep it in Japan. K1, of course, always doing good things, but most important to always doing good things, the stars did star stuff. And that's so, so important. Like just, it's as I said before, people got to want to see in combat sports. They got to want to, they have to want to go, this person's fighting, I got to be there. That's one of the most important things about kickboxing. I don't care if you feel like someone always gets victories. It's something that Georgia Petrosian struggled with. So for people who think that I'm against the Thai style, Georgia Petrosian's a Western guy who had this trouble, as talented as this, he had this trouble. Yunus El Moussani had this trouble. Did some really good, sneaky, awesome stuff. But he had trouble getting people wanting to see him fight every time out. He did some good stuff. But it's just sometimes the greatness of just getting your hands raised isn't enough. It's just unfair. There's some people who, and I won't say it's unfair, the audience knows what it likes. But no matter what, a Mike Tyson style is always, and I repeat, always going to make more money than a jab and grab, you know, a Klitschko style or a Larry Holmes style. Like, people are going to want to see someone get killed. Like, they're getting knocked out. Like, that's what the people want to see. I know it's a tough, savage sport. People don't want to hear me say that, but I'm going to say that because it's the truth. People want to see the knockout. It's just how it's always going to be. We go to this Japan card. We got, like it's funny as I look at my notes and I break down this card, I see knockout, 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 knockdown, knockdown. Like, I see it all over the place. It's just an incredible card. Go ahead and just be real quick on some of the opening fights because they did go to decision. Yoshi gets a victory over Yudo Kuroda. That's a split draw. Seo gets a victory over Koji Suzuki. Tetsu gets a victory over Masafumu. Kurosaki. And then we go to the reserve also on that part. Shinichiro Kawasaki gets a victory over Hisaki Higashimoto. And that was an extra round decision. It's a good thing that you didn't get called in the tournament because if you do four rounds of work before the tournament even begins, you've been burnt out. So we'll go ahead and jump to the tournament action. We got Kenta Hayashi gets a victory over Nicholas Gaffey. Split decision, 30-28 one way, 30-29 the other way, 28-29 on dissenting judge. Kenta moves forward. Then Yudo Shinohara goes ahead and upsets my complete tournament all the way. I laughed at how badly I picked this tournament. But 25 seconds in, left hook scores, knockout, gonna park on. Shinohara moves on. I brought it before, and this is maybe a reason why that the Thais don't fight in this way. Gunapar really does have a pleasing style. He's out there trying to kill people, and he's trying to win by knockout, and that doesn't always go in your favor. Doesn't always lead to a knockout. Sometimes it just leads to you getting beat up, and sometimes it leads to you taking offense. I don't know if I think that was the case here. He's always aggressive, but he just got caught with a clean shot in round one, and he's been hurt and stopped before. So, didn't go his way. Gets stopped 25 seconds in. Shinohara moves on. Kiyoshiro gets victory over Indigo Boyd by knockout. Right cross landed clean in the third round. Sometimes you see, when you hear the foreign names, sometimes your question is they're going to come in and they're brought in to lose. You know, sometimes you feel that way. Boyd came in, had some moments, you know, in this three-round fight, had some moments, but Koshihiro was the better fighter. Simple as that. Scored a big knockout in the third and moves forward. Femiya Asawe gets a victory over Li Wei. Majority decision, 30-29, 30-29, and 29-29. My favorite thing about this fight is Wei's who I had winning it. So I can go ahead and laugh at myself for that one. I thought he was going to win this tournament. He has had success in the tournament before. It was a 63 kg tournament. I believe that was the weight class that he won the tournament at before. But as talented as he is, he had some moments, and he does have some dry spells in his offense. Whereas I thought Asawa was consistent, I was fine with the decision. Gets a big-time victory and moves forward for Asawa in the tournament. We then go to Yuta Hayashi. It gets a victory over Seiji Kimura. No contest because of accidental headbutt. It's combat sport. This happens. Nothing we can do about it. Keio Asahisa gets a victory over Riko Anpo, and this, shout out to the toughness of Anpo, because this was a beatdown. 30-26, two knockdowns scored in the round. One judge strangely had a 30-28, so he really gave Anpo some credit once Anpo got up and started battling back. I didn't see it that way at all. I thought that it was pretty dominated by Asahisa, and I want to see more. This is a fight to win none, but Anpo isn't what I would call a super elite, just a solid guy, and solid guy who took a solid beating. So Asahisa gets the victory and moves forward. Kenta Hayashi gets a victory over Yuta Shinohara. Just a barrage. I mean, this knockout was just, it happened in a flurry of offense that couldn't be returned. Hayashi, this is a good victory. I am not over the hill about his talent. I do think he's a good talent, though. So hopefully we'll see more of Hayashi moving forward down the road. Femiya Asawa gets a victory over Koshihiro by knockout in the second round. Again, the offense, I mean, punches got it started, got him hurt. Ref stepped in there. Koshihiro, tough person, just not, I mean, Asawa, he brought it. He brought it in the tournament, and that's what we need more of. So your semifinals of the tournament is Kenta Hayashi winning by KO, and then Femiya Asawa winning by KO. You're all in. That's what you want. Now everybody's sitting down excited. How's this tournament thing going to end? That's how awesome it was to get, you know, Kenta to go out there and Femiya to go out there and get stoppages. You want to see that. And they had everybody excited for what's going to happen in the tournament final. Then we go to some of the super fights that include some of the bigger stars. Rikia Anpo, a different Anpo, he gets a head kick victory over Hideki Yamazaki. Hideki Yamazaki is a talented guy. He's got a K1 tournament win, got a victory over Masaki Nori at one period of time. It was in a tournament, and Nori came into it a little wounded, but he got a victory over him. And he gets a head kick stoppage. Good stuff by Anpo. Good timing on it. Yamazaki goes down. Still a tough guy, still a good fighter. But Rikia goes out there and makes a statement. Masaki Nori then gets a victory over Riki. Matsuoka, knockout, first round, punches, just two different animals. You guys know how I feel about Masaki Nori. I've always called him my son. You know, he's one of he's got one of the best fight resumes on the planet. Just, I've been watching him since he's, you know, 15, 16 years old. He's such a talent. Anytime he goes out there and has success, I'm always excited about it. Man, Nori can fight. Man, this guy can fight. He is such a talent. So shout out to Masaki Nori. He put in great work once again. Yusuke Takai gets a victory over Yodbang Fairtex. I actually thought Yodbedang would get the victory here. I lean towards Fairtex to get the victory. But, and again, Yusuke Takai, I was thinking of a different fight card. Yusuke Takai is the guy who I picked to win this fight. He is one of the better prospects they're bringing up. He showed a lot of skill, and this one was tough for him. This did not come easy. He had to do some work in this one. They went to an extra round. All three judges gave it to Takai. He just did a little bit more offense in the extra round. Fairtex is still good, showed some good skill. I expect to see him back. But Yusuke Takai, one of the young stars that they're grooming to be one of the futures of the sport, he gets the victory. And that's three straight fights where you get Anpo, Nori, Takai. Those are the guys that they're trying to push going forward. So good stuff by all three of those gentlemen. We then get to the tournament final where Kenta Hayashi just puts on a barrage in Asawa. 4 knockdowns in the 3 rounds. Calls it. Kenta Hayashi is your 63kg tournament winner. Good stuff. I was okay on him before the tournament. I was sold on him after the tournament. You know why? Because of KOs. KOs do it, you know? And it's not just simply that he got KOs, but, you know, it's the way that, you know, you're moved in. Now, again, you can't do anything about the fact that, you know, in the first round he kind of moved on because of a headbutt. You know, accidental headbutt, if I remember correctly. You can't do anything about... No, excuse me. You can't do anything about the first round opponent if you maybe felt like he got a little bit easier guy in the first round. I didn't feel that way. I thought that Nicholas Gaffey gave him some good professional resistance, as they say. I thought he did a good job of that. But after that, I just think he found his offensive flow. He found his aggression, and he just became a beast. And Kenta Hayashi, you know, stops his last two guys to win the tournament and then 4 knockdowns. He made a statement, and now you want to see him fight again. That is the overall goal of combat sports. It's not just to have a good night of fights. You want the people who came and watched your show to be like, when is the next one of these? Kenta Hayashi getting the victory, that's what I said afterwards. I want to see him fight again. Then we go to the very end, where just the biggest Japanese kickboxing star, of course, we already know the popularity that's coming for Nasukawa because he's going against Mayweather. But if you just go off of the pure aggression and violence and the fact that people watch this guy to see what happens in there against elite-level dudes, no matter what, Takeru is the guy in kickboxing in Japan. Like, he is the guy. He brings the violence every single time. He scored 2 knockdowns in this one. He did one where he did a knee to the body and throw a hook over the top. He did one where there's an offensive barrage on the ropes and the ref stepped in. Koji, to his credit, brought the war right back. He decided he was going to bite down the mouthpiece, punch back. Wasn't always to his benefit, but he gave us an excellent fight. Like, it's just the word thriller was thrown around. And a lot of people use the term, a lot of people feel that Takeru is the best pound for pound kickboxer in the world. I don't know if I'll go, you know, I don't know if I will agree with them in terms of the opposition that he's fought overall compared to some of the opposition that some people face in some of the other weight classes. But as far as all action, as far as, you know, and I'll put it together one day. If I put my all-action team for people to, the must-see team that I usually put in the kickboxing game, in that weight class, anybody that's fighting around, you know, 125 to 130, Takeru is the guy. Like, he is so, so great. If you had never seen kickboxing before and you showed someone his fight, they would immediately be like, all right, this dude is legit. I want to watch this guy. So he is a great person to have in the kickboxing sport. Man, is he a talent. And, of course, he started the rumors, started getting things flowing a little bit. And, of course, we'll see what happens when we get a little bit closer. He's went ahead and said, hey, you know, he's putting it out there. Starting to, I won't say talk trash, but just trying to let the world know I'm down to fight Nasukawa. When Tenshin wants to do this, let's do this. Something that we didn't think would happen before. So, super glad that that fight is a possibility, and it's something that they absolutely have to do. They have to do at some period of time. That'll be the biggest fight in Japan in some years. So definitely hoping that works its way out. I'm going to go ahead and go to the Glory Kickboxing. Of course, you guys know that I work for Glory Kickboxing and Talent Ops. I will do my best to break this down in terms of fight action and not really give you a narrative of where I think things are going to go. I'm just going to say, hey, this person beat this person. This is how they do it, and this is why it was awesome. So I'll go ahead and keep the action in the ring. First, I want to tell you guys this. If there's one fight that you need to see over the last 2 weeks, now, of course, I brought up Takeru and his awesome action. In terms of bringing the war, that fight was, anytime Takeru fights, I'm going to say watch it. For entertainment's sake, watch that fight. But I want to bring this fight up for another reason. Ertuğrul Bayrak versus Donovan Weiss is one of the best technical kickboxing fights of the year, period. It is the sport at its highest and cleanest technique. You have to watch this fight. I will spell the name out. ERTUGRULBAYRAK. That's Utrecht Bayrock. And against Donovan Weiss, Donovan Weiss, Wisse. This fight is the sport at its highest. It is the cleanest technique. It's where you start to ask the question, why are the low kicks taking this guy there? When you ask the question, why isn't the boxing taking this guy out? It is the best back and forth between two elite level guys. And again, Weiss was coming in. He was undefeated. Bayrock has a record where he's got some losses. It's almost like the moment brought the best out of him, and that's what you want. As a person that works for Glory Kickboxing, that's what I want. I want when you get on that big stage, I don't care if you had, you know, 5 days notice or 5 months notice, I want you to perform in a way where you're like, this is it. I've arrived. I'm winning. That's what I want. That's what we all want. Everybody in combat sports wants it. Now, I understand the nature of it. It doesn't always happen that way. You get short period of time to prepare. The norm is you lose because you don't have that opportunity to fully prepare yourself. That's why the struggle happens. So that happens a lot. But I can't stress to you enough that Bayrock, with this opportunity against an undefeated guy, came in and performed excellent. Donovan Weiss, this is kickboxing. You're completely fine. You're still awesome. You are still awesome. You're still a great, great talent. And we expect great things from you down the road in your kickboxing career. But tonight, in this great back and forth, split decision win in the favor of Bayrock, who really did show great kickboxing. I can't stress to you enough, if you want to see the sport at its best, Bayrock versus Weiss is a fight you have to watch. Raul Menart gets a victory over Kirill Kornilov. And Raul was, or Roel, was showed better kickboxing skill throughout. Good combo work, put kicks on the end, whether it be low kicks or head kicks. He showed good things. Kornilov is good, but he never, you know, he was trying to get his rhythm. It just didn't come off as clean as I'm sure he wanted it to. He would score something here and there, but he wasn't able to put together clean, consistent offense, just moments. Whereas Menart, he was definitely consistent and clean in his kickboxing throughout. But my favorite was round three. In round three, Raul Menart fought with a lead, and he still, you know, of course, he knew that he was up because he was open scoring. So he knew he was up two rounds. But his corner was yelling, and he was acting as if he needed a KO in round three. He went for it. Like, he was aggressive for Kornilov, and he threw powerful punches and looked aggressive with his offense. He wanted a stoppage. He did not want to go out there and just, you know, a decision that he had wasn't what he wanted. He wanted to try to get the stoppage. He didn't just settle on, okay, this is foot, I'll just go ahead and take this. No, he wanted to get a stoppage. And that was like, that was everything for me. That was everything for me. I want to see that all the time with the highest level guys. It's just, I've got no problem if you don't do it. You know, I can't stress that enough. If you just give me clean kickboxing and you win a decision, that's cool. But there's something to it. If you go out there and you're like, you know what? This guy has got to go. And we got to have more of that in the combat sports. And we got to have more of that with our elite level guys. And we got that in this fight. So definitely shout out to Raul Menart for that. Next fight of the card I'm going to talk about is, of course, if you want to see an awesome debut, look no further than the performance that we got from one Hamitia, who I believe the last name is Missouri, but I'm just remembering it correctly. Anyways, if you want to see a great debut, Hamitia's debut against Miles Simpson, first of all, both guys showed good, clean kickboxing early. Very, very important. But Hamitia really started to play with the body work with the left hand. And he put a kick down in that direction, but he really kept digging the body with the left hand. And then all of a sudden, after a flurry, he really had Simpson hurt. Simpson was able to, you know, hold the earmuffs up and battle back and just keep fighting and not let the you know, not go down, just kept fighting. But he got hurt with a couple of shots to the body, and it dropped his right elbow. Once that happened, Hamitia found his moment and got the high kick over the glove, scores the KO on Miles Simpson. Crowd went crazy. Great debut. Great debut. And Miles Simpson's still a talent. Like, he came out, Lost a split decision to Jiraiya. He wins his last fight. He said that he felt coming into this that they only bring me in to go against guys that you know that to you know that they want to test for the other guy or they want to try to put the other guy over. But he came out with the mentality, I want to go out there and get a win. I'm the guy that they need to be pushing. This particular time, he was fighting well, but then he got hurt, and then Hamicha showed the good technique. Brought the left kick over after hurting him to the body. Scored the head kick victory for one of the cooler KOs of the year. Good stuff by both men, but Hamicha is a guy who we will be watching in the very, very stacked welterweight division in glory. Speaking of the welterweight, we go on to Dmitry Menchikov. He gets a victory over Rogby Hegman. Menchikov's going to go ahead and make this a trend, I guess. He's going to make this his identity. He goes out in Lyon, and he is getting out-kickboxed. And then all of a sudden, he puts some powerful punches together, and he wins by TKO stoppage in the first round. Here against Robbie and Holland, Robbie Hegman goes out there and is out-kickboxing him. Next thing you know, Menchikov scores something big. Hegman's in trouble. He continues to put the barrage on. Ref comes in and stops it. Menchikov gets another victory. Now, whenever you see this style of fight, clearly it goes to your mind that how long can a person fight like that where they're losing, 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 and they win by KO. I don't know either, but man, is it fun to watch. Because it's fun to watch a guy who you never know. At any period of time, even though they're getting outscored, they can still win by stoppage. That's always going to be fun. We're always going to love that person in kickboxing. So shout out to Menchikov, who, again, it was clear to me, Robbie Hegman did great stuff, scoring with the offensive flow, boxing, kickboxing, boxing the low kick work, single kicks in space, clean shots in space. He was doing a great job. Then all of a sudden, Menchikov went Menchikov on him, starts scoring those big old shots, gets a TKO stoppage. Love it. Great stuff by Menchikov. He gets a victory and moves on. Tijani Bistati gets a victory over Stoyan Karpovlensky, and it's one that he wins the rematch. First time he did some good things, but he had been hurt by the. It was in a tournament, and he had been hurt by the guy who he fought in the first round. And then Stoyan got an injured guy, and he was able to get into his offense, was able to take advantage of the low kick work. Stoyan's a good fighter. Did Karpovlensky get some good stuff? But in this fight, Bistati, fight number two, showed the cleaner kickboxing throughout, was able to score with his length, was able to score with his kicks and movement, and got good movement and space. Karpovlensky, good fighter, just couldn't get the rhythm down. Couldn't get Bistati, couldn't get into his flow like he normally does. Bistati gets the decision 30-27 in all three cards. So still both good fighters. Just Bistati, the young man, I think he's 21 now, just doing good stuff, found his offensive flow, moves forward. Maraca Gorin versus Christian Baia was a split decision. Christian Baia came out fighting perfect in round one. Everything's working for him. Combinations and low kicks, movement and space, sat on boxing, didn't sit there too long to be in exchanges. Maraca Gorin was patient, looking for his moment, but then Baia would leave, like not giving him anything, not giving him that clean target, not giving him that straight shot, turning him over every once in a while, turning him most of the time. The whole fight seemed to be Gorin. First round seemed to be Gregorian just trying to get Baia to stop for a little bit so he can get his offense. And Christian Baia seemed to be, corners yelling, more of the same. Combinations of kicks, move. Everything came off smooth for Baia after round one. Enter round two. Gregorian gets his Gregorian going. Walks you down through those big combinations, looks for his low kicks here and there, but really it's the pressure boxing, the step knees. He just keeps walking you down. Gregorian then takes over the fight. I could see him winning. The judges had him winning 2 and 3. And for me, it looked like he won 2 and 3 clear. One judge liked, because Gregorian probably took about a minute and a half of clean kickboxing work in round two. But then in the last 30 seconds of that round, Baia came back and started to score. So the judge that had it for him, I can see it because Baia did. I could see the argument for how that happened. Because Baia did have that moment in the last 30 seconds where he threw some offense and Gregorian had stopped. Gregorian had won the last minute and 30 seconds before it. So I can see it. So that's why, I'm not going crazy or robbery or nothing like that, whatever. But I can see what that judge was probably thinking. From my view, it looked like the cleaner, consistent offense came from Gregorian, and that's why he won round two. And then round three was clear for Gregorian. So the scorecards came back. One judge even gave Gregorian round one, which I didn't see, but you know, definitely 30-27 there. And we had 29-28 on three of the other cards, and the one dissenting card for buyout was 28-29. We then move into the tournament, and again, a little bit of everything. Most importantly, we want some KOs, and we got some KOs. Not in all the fights, but we got in some of them. So first round of tournament, we get some decisions and some controversies, a little bit of everything. Benjamin Adebowie comes out against Zorsek, the Polish fighter. And he came out and he really tried to keep up with the kickboxing pace of Adebowie, but Adebowie scored a shot that hurt him to the body and he stayed hurt. And he moved around and he stayed around, and Adebowie was patient, didn't really rush it, was looking for his perfect shot, didn't really get it, and then he hurt him again, dropped him two times. I'm thinking they're going to get a stoppage here. Adebowie decided to stay clean and professional. He never overextended himself. He never burnt himself out looking for a KO, fully understanding that it was a tournament. Fully understanding that it was a tournament, he performed in such a way. And he gets a clear victory. And I think that, you know, Wazorzik did a good job of representing himself as a professional and fighting it, because he really was hurt to the body. But Benjamin Adebowie, you know, most people had him as the favorite going into this. He showed the skill and he moves on. A little bit of controversy as Jamal Ben Sadek gets victory over Junior Taffa. Only controversy in terms of like how, you know, Taffa saw it, and some people on Twitter maybe saw it this way too. First of all, it started off with a wardrobe malfunction. Very early into the fight, a teep from Ben Sadek like rips the cord or the string on the groin protector of Taffa. And so then they have to try to get it in there, and then they rush to put it in there. But really, the corner probably should have taken his time, gotten in the ring, and then tied it on. Like that's... I've seen it happen, and it's embarrassing, and you never want to see it. But in the end, that's your groin, man. You know, we got to reproduce this. You know, we got to have kids that have a world. So I think that maybe he didn't know. And there's a good chance he didn't know that he had the time to get in there, make sure that he had tied it on right. But it's also embarrassing. Nobody wants to see you take someone's pants down and tie the cup gear on in front of a whole crowd. But he rushed and put it in there. And like maybe 10 seconds after putting it in there, there was a little bit of an exchange, and it fell right back out. And then all of a sudden, the ref rightly says, I'm going to disqualify you. He's 100% right. It's not his responsibility for you to have your gear on correctly. It's the athlete. So the ref was 100% right to have that threat. With that, Junior just tried to battle through it, but you could see it was on his mind. If your cup, if you've ever, you know, if you are a fighter, if you've ever fought before and you're listening to this podcast, or if you know fighters, you know that when that cup starts slipping, it messes your whole everything up. So as a spectator, part of me just wants him to get back to the corner. You know, get out of the round, and then maybe you can get that thing fixed. But as a sportsman, I understand that that's something that really has to be checked before you go out there and really have to be. And again, anything happens. The wrong kind of teep could have got it and so on. But at the end, Junior felt like the groin area was targeted, one that was loose, and there was a shot that landed where it looked like it grazed the cup area, but then it also scored to the stomach. The ref called it a knockdown. Junior is complaining to the ref the whole time. Another offensive barrage by Sadiq, and then the shot to the groin again. Normally, you love KOs. The crowd was pretty much like disinterested, I think, because of the controversy, which is unfortunate. But don't worry, Ben Sadiq will win the crowd back later. We get a TKO in the first round. Ben said he gets the victory. Junior Taffa still upset to this very moment. He felt like they saw it wrong and he was done wrongly. So I definitely want to say that in favor of him. But I was completely fine with how the events went down and how the ref handled it. It's just a difficult situation. There's no right situation there. The ref can't stop the fight, send you in the back, have you put your cup on, you know, fix your cup, then come back and restart the fight. He's got to do it all out there, you know? So that was a tough call. And I think that the ref battled through it well. And I think Jamal Ben Sadiq was a professional. He's like, hey, you got to get hit. This is what I do. You know, so he kept throwing those bungalows until he got his victory. Jafar Wellness gets a victory over Thomas Mosny. Thomas really did do some good stuff early. He scored, and Jafar Wellness was having a little bit of trouble with the length. But if there's one thing about Wellness, he's just going to keep coming. He's going to keep working. Work his clean, low kicks, counter kick return, pressure you all night. Doesn't throw the heaviest punches, but he throws heavy enough. It was a split decision. Two judges had it 29-28 for Mosny. The other three had it 29-28 for Wellness. Wellness wins a very, very... I don't want to say the fight was super, super entertaining, but I want to say it was really workmanlike, because that's what Wellness does. He's so workman. He just keeps going, keeps pushing, keeps going forward, keeps finding his offense. So good stuff for Wellness. He moves on in the tournament. Guto Innocente wins a split decision over Muhammad Abdallah. Really, after round one, it was kind of in, you know, I thought Abdallah scored the cleaner, more consistent offense over Innocente, and then Innocente kind of moved around trying to find his rhythm back. But after that, it just kind of became Abdallah not finding offense enough, and Innocente just trying a trick shot here and there. You know, he did a jumping spin kick, you know, that scored a little bit. I've seen him try it before, but it did hit Abdallah. And then afterwards, Abdallah kept walking him down, and Abdallah went back to the stool after round one, and he looked like he had super energy. But after round two, you know, like one round two happened, the offense just didn't join it. And he really did have a lot of – he lost in his first glory outing. Then he really put together a good resume, and he worked his way back to glory. I know he was hoping to have a better outcome, and he did get a split. But those last rounds were just tough to score because not a lot of offense went towards either guy. But Guto was throwing the flash here and there. The judges went in his favor. Next fight, Benjamin Akbui gets a victory over Jafar Wellness in a awesome, awesome back-and-forth fight. One of the fights of the year. Adebuwe scored offense clean. Jafar Wellness walked him down. He scored his counter offense. They're slugging it out. They're in the court. Like, just awesome, awesome stuff by both guys. And then all of a sudden, Adebuwe sneaks a head kick in there. And bang, head kick scores. Jafar Wellness, like, falls forward. And same thing in the last fight. The Adebuwe scored the big offense when Wellness had walked him down. You know, like that's when the opportunity came. So really good stuff by Adebuwe, who scores this big KO. Guy goes down. Wellness goes down. No shame in this loss because you really did put in a great fight. But Benjamin Adebuwe showed that he was tired and slowing by this point. Gets the KO victory, his third knockdown, and this one a knockout of the tournament. So you are all getting all action from Adebuwe as he goes into the tournament final. Sabal Ben Sadiq was able to score a down over Guto Innocente, but Guto just kept moving, trying his, you know, his trick shots here and there, his, you know, jumping techniques and spinning techniques, but it just wasn't to be. Jamal Ben Sadiq was locked in. He wasn't going to take any of that. Scored the cleaner offense. He gets a decision. And then the tournament ends or goes to the direction as most people thought, Sadiq versus Adebuwe. Between them, we had Luis Tavares as he goes against Artur Gorolov. Scorecards all over the place on Twitter. And scorecards all over the place here. Split decision. There really were some rounds that could have gone either way. And Luis Tavares, he did some good stuff in space with his combos and movement, combos and low kicks. But Artur Gorolov, he treated this like it was a high-level opportunity, and he fought that way. Nothing in him was backing down. He fought tall, as they say. Scored with his good long offensive strikes. Brought the pressure to Tavares. Tavares had to play smooth and slick, whereas Gorolov was walking and marching him down and going forward. They really showed a lot of talent, a lot of skill in this fight. Could have gone either way. Scorecards went for Tavares. He will now move forward. And I'm sure he really wanted that victory because he had the loss to Vakhadov in his glory debut. So then he works his way back by, you know, fighting in, World Fight League? And he fought for them there in Holland under Melvin Gillard's promotion. Won the heavyweight title and the light heavyweight title. He really put on a long win streak to put himself back in a situation. He goes out there and he's in a super tough fight. Split decision goes his way. 3 judges to 2. Good stuff for Tavares. But those scores were everywhere. Like, literally, there was a 27-30 in favor of Gorlov, and then there was a 30-27 in favor of Tavares. It was all over the place. Tough fight to score. We go to the finals. Jamal Ben Sadiq got a tired Adegbuyi. Adegbuyi looked for moments, but in the end, Sadiq had more in the tank. Too big, too strong. Got Adegbuyi hurt. Scores a counter left hand from the southpaw position. He said that he hurt his right hand, so then that's why he started fighting with his left. But he showed good tools with his left because he scored a straight left. He did a pull as Adegbuyi threw his right, and then he fired another left behind it. Scored a knockdown. He showed skill. He didn't just go out there clubbing away. He showed skill to get his KO stoppage. So really good stuff by Ben Sadiq. He gets this tournament win. It came with a belt. It came with $150,000, which is also awesome. I really thought that it was a fun tournament night. There was good fights throughout, but I would definitely say if there's one fight in this whole card, again, go watch the whole card. It's get your fight pass. You know, make sure you got ESPN when this stuff pops up. Go watch this stuff when it happens. But I cannot stress you enough, Bayrock versus Vice is a fight you have to see if you love kickboxing. It is such high level. It is. If someone never saw the sport before, show them that fight. Like, it represents the sport so, so well. So good stuff there. Of course, you guys know me. I ain't done. I went to Japan. I went to Holland. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go to China for you. I'm going to keep the streak going. I'll probably wrap the show up with this Kunlun tournament. But they've been doing it all year, working their way down the 66-kg tournament field. Just there were good fights throughout, but I'll go ahead and make sure I focus on the main ones. Sergey Kuleba gets a victory over Jay Okwane by split decision. It's very important because that's going to be your tournament winner. Sun Xiuxing gets a victory over Kenta Yamada. Gu Hui gets a victory over Nofi Belezovsky. And then your other tournament of the first round was Sofyan Kadori gets a victory over Wei Nenghe. Now, so at this point, Gu Hui is the only Chinese fighter. So he's doing his best to represent the country well, and he's battling. But got some tough opposition with Kadori and with Sergey Kuleba. We move on. There's an MMA fight in the middle. Then we get Kuleba getting a decision over Sun Xixing. There are two fighters. Sun Xixing was the other tournament fighter. He was also Chinese descent. He gets Kuleba in the next round. Sergey Kuleba gets a victory, moves on. Gu Hui gets a victory over Sofyan Kadori. And then we have Zun Chunyu gets a victory over Peng Tong. Song Xia Kui gets a victory over Kong Ling Fang. Look at me, I'm spitting out these Chinese names for y'all. Wang Wufeng gets a victory over Feng Liang. And then we get to our tournament final. Sergey Kuleba as he gets a victory over Gu Hu. Here's the only problem with Kuleba's victory. The only problem with the whole card. You notice what you didn't hear on there? Knockout. There was really only one knockout the whole card, and I think that was Lu Rili against Lun Jiabang. I think it was a first-round stoppage. Sometimes you just get another tough guy in front of you, and sometimes you're just going to have to go to decisions. But when you talk about the fights that people remember and the fight cards that they want to go back and visit, got to have stoppages. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying it's true. You want to see stoppages at the highest level, or you want to see epic exchanges. And I thought this card was just passable. But Sergey Kuleba is a talent to pay attention to. He's got the skill to be in this sport for a while. I think you'll hear his name at other promotions down the road. Really, really excited for what he offered. And I was glad that I was able to sit down and get this podcast to you guys full. I was glad that I was able to get the knockout show. We went knockout. We went infusion. We went Kunlun. You know, I had already, the last time you guys saw me, I talked about the Yosin-Klai fight. So, like, no one championship this time, but I'm sure it'll be back because they do a lot of cards. So, I'll go ahead and wrap this show up with some notes. It is looking like ONE Championship has got a TV deal with TNT or the Turner Network. That's awesome because if they do kickboxing on their cards, that means we're going to get to watch it. And before they had a free stream that you were able to watch it on their app. So now you've got a pay stream, and that's a little bit disappointing. But I am in the States, so I've got TNT. So I'll be able to sit down and watch it, and I'll do my best to stay up and get you guys those cards because they're going to be played live. live and then on replay. So I'm glad they got that 3-year deal. We'll see what happens with the fight card. We'll see where that leads us. Also, it was announced that Tayfun Uskin will be going against Andy Semelier next year on the big February card. And Fusion's biggest card usually happens in February. This fight is just insane. Like, just insane. I am so pumped for this fight. It really has the potential to be one of the great fights of the year already next year. So, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for your patience. God bless. And I will be back with kickboxing action next week. Probably do my year in reward show next week. So everybody have a good one. Peace.